I was trying to top of Lamed Adam Aleph, and we just discussed the Shlosha Mekamot Nesu Kohanim Et Aaron. One of the places was Kishavu Et HaYarden, when they crossed over the Yarden. So now we're going to discuss Agadata, dealing with Bnei Israel's crossing of the Yarden at the time of Yehoshua. The Kavan, so this is the top of Lamed Adam Aleph. Kavan Shnitblu Raglei Kohanim B'mayim Chazua Mayim Le'Ocharehem. As soon as the feet of the Kohanim reached into the water of the Yarden when they're carrying the Aron, remember before we said that the Aron was in the front of the Machaneh, now not in the middle of the Machaneh, the waters stopped. They ran, moved backwards. Shenema, Kabon Nasei Aron Ad HaYarden, V'yamdu HaMayim HaYarden Milamala Kamu Neid Echad. So that when once the Kohanim got into the Nasei Aron got into the Yarden, the waters became a pillar or a wall that stood. V'kama Goban Shamayim. So how high was the water, this pillar, this wall of water that stopped for them, how high was it? Shnei masar mil, k'neged Machaneh Yisrael. The Rebbe Yehuda says, how big is the Machaneh Yisrael? It's 12 by 12 mil. And therefore the wall itself was also 12 by 12 mil. Now we understand 12 mil of height makes sense because the waters kept building as long as Bnei Yisrael were crossing through the Yarden. What the other 12 mil is, it's not clear, because it's definitely not the width. Tosis points out that the width of the Yarden was only 50 amot. Right? So if the width of the Yarden is 50 amot, it's certainly not the width of that water. So the question is, what is that extra 12 mil? What's the other dimension of 12 mil here? Does it mean it builds up backwards also? Or I'm not sure exactly what the height is, 12 by 12 versus just 12 mil height. So I'm going to let Rabbi Shimon, the Berech, Adam Kau, or Mayim Kalim. Which runs faster? People, do they walk faster or running water? Habi Omer, Mayim Kalim, the waters are much lighter or light-footed. In Cain, by Mayim Bishol Tzvim Matan. If that was the case, the waters would come and run them over, flow over them. I mean, if it only went up 12 mil, then they would have been drowned. Because the water coming down in the Yarden runs faster than the Machaneh Yisrael. If it's running faster than Machaneh Yisrael, the wall of water would be higher than the 12 mil equivalent of what it would take for Kaisel to cross through. It was building up, arches over arches or waves over waves until it reached over 300 mil high. So all the kings were able to see it. All the people in Eretz Yisrael on the western bank of the Yarden, right? They heard what happened. They dried out the waters of the Hashem. Dried out the waters of the Yarden from Bnei Israel to cross. Adobram. Their hearts melted. They no longer had the will to stand up to Bnei Israel. The Af Bachavazona Amra Lishluchei Yeshua. Also the Meraglim that Yeshua sent, my last week's Haftorah, that when Yeshua sent the Meraglim to go check out and they end up by Bachavazona, what did she tell them? Kishamano te Asher Vish Hashem et Mei Yamsuf. The equivalent that we heard how Hashem had dried out the waters of the Yamsuf for you to cross. We heard this and our hearts melted. Right? We were in fear of Elokama Oath and no longer wanted to fight in a Yisrael. So in both of these instances, we see that the miracle of the Yamsuf, as well as the miracle of the Yarden, served to implant a fear in the other nations, or especially in Canaan, when Bnei Israel enter and probably ease their conquest of Eretz Yisrael. So again, the machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda believes that the waters built up a wall equivalent to what it would take for the Machaneh Yisrael to cross, 12 mil. I mean, if that was the size of Machaneh Yisrael, it was 12 mil. Once they crossed over 12 mil, that's how high the water would be. Elazar ben Shimon says that assumes that water and people move at the same pace. That's just not true. Water moves at a much faster pace than people. So that's the case. It was 12 mil from Bnei Israel to cross. The waters must have built a wall that was much higher. And he says there was Yoter Mishlosh Meid mil, more than 300 mil that the water built up. Now, we'll come back to this again. There are other questions on it. We'll come back on the second Amud. The Gemara is going to address it again. Now, Imatem, so now, when they were in the in the waters of the Yarden. When they stop in the Yarden, Yeshua makes a brit with them, and they take avanim, they take stones out of the Yarden. So it says, "Im atem osim kein mutav." If you listen, good. V'im lav ba'im ma'im b'shotfim atechem. Otherwise, the waters will come and drown you or overwhelm you. So here we have a similar thing to by Har Sinai, right? The Kabbalah Har Kigigit, same place, right? In the mountain over them, it says to them, right? If you accept it, fine. Right here will be your burial place. The same thing Yeshua says, do you accept, you know, the Torah here? And what we're talking about here, Yerushalmi says that they were mekabel him the nistarot. What does that mean, the nistarot? It says at the end of in Hazina nistarot niglot lanu ulvaneinu ad olam. Right, so that the responsibility for Klal Yisrael of being a Rebim Zelazeh would apply not only to the Niglot Lano, but after they cross the Yarden, even to a Nistarot Lano. Even things that are not open in the public, Bnei Yisrael will take joint ownership of the problem, in that Klal Yisrael as a whole is responsible for that which any individual does, and we find that by Achan. Right, by Achan, when he takes from the Shlal, that when they go out to battle, the people in Oye, when they go against them, the Bnei Yisrael are killed. And they lose the battle because of Achan's behavior. So you see over here, so they're standing here, and they're in Mekabel the Torah, or Mekabel the Nistarot on them. And it's, alright, so now it says, Im atem osim kein mutav, im lav ma'im b'shotchim etchem, mayu teichem. Why does it say etchem? Why does it say otechem? So it says, oti, etchem, me and you. And Yeshua is saying, me and you, we're going together. Alright. Udam b'yardein, while they were still in the Yarden, Rabbi Yeshua, Yerim lachem ish eben achat al shechmo l'mispar shevtei Yisrael. Right, each of you take a stone on your shoulder, very equivalent to the number of shevtei Yisrael, so 12 stones. So this will be an oath, right, a sign for your children. When you put them up as a mateva, right, so they come back to this right, memorial, it's a proper, some sort of siman, that the children will come and see. When they say, what happened here, Dad? They'll say, well, we crossed the Yarden over here. We Hashem stopped the waters of Yarden, this is where we crossed. Siman levanim shabru avot et Yarden. Right, so this similar type of thing of he got to the Levinpa, right, that we have by Pesach, right, he got to the Levinpa. Over here you have this idea that the Mativa will engender the questions of the children. Just like right by the got to the Levinpa, you have the Shelot of the Yeladim, Rabbi Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and also Yam Suf. So to over here you have the Mativa, which will engender the questions of the children to be answered. Odam b'Yarden, while they were still in Yarden, Amar lahem Yehoshua, Sulachem mizeh mitoch ha'Yarden, yimatzev metzav ragli ha'kohanim achein shkimes rabanim, take those 12 stones for the feet of the by the kohanim, v'apartem odam b'machem, and you'll take them with them, v'yinachtem odam b'malon, asher tadlinu bo alayla, and you'll go take them to the place where you're going to sleep or in camp tonight. Yochol b'po malon ha'malon, you think that they have to take it for each in camp, and they'll take these stones. So it says, asher tadlinu bo alayla, only tonight. So Amar, where the place they went to that night, that first encampment, was where they took these stones for the Matzeva. Now, there are two sets of stones that we are talking over here about. If you look in Rashi, points out that there are two sets of stones. Harim Lachem, right, as the Gemara explains, Harim Lachem, that those stones, of Hema Benim Shekimu Taka Matzeva Gleyaku Anima Zikaron, Siman Lebanim Shevu Avot Etiyardin. So first, they took the 12 stones and placed them by the feet of the Kohanim, and that was the Matzeva that they crossed the Yarden. That Matzeva remained by the Yarden. On the other hand, Sumizet Tocha Yarden Mitzav came Shikimu Bahariival. That's what they took to Harival, Banu Mizbeach Kiflum Mekibum Bekabum Begilgal. So they had two sets of 12 stones. One set of 12 stones that was taken out to be placed as a Matzeva by the feet of the Kohanim. That should be what? The reminder that this is where they crossed the Yarden, and the children come and ask. The second set of 12 stones that were going to be taken with them to build, right, to go to Harival, build the Mizbeach, and then they put on seed, they plastered them and wrote the Torah on it, and then they dismantled them and took them over to the Gilgal, and then they reassembled them in the Gilgal. Alright, so now, Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Abba Chalafta, Rabbi Elezer ben Matri, B'chanani ben Hachinai, Amdu alam Oton Avanim B'Shiarum. They checked out these stones and they measured them. Each one of them was worth 40 sa'ah, weighed 40 sa'ah. the Gemiri, and we learned from the Gemiri that Tuna Madli into the Kitvei Tilta the Tuna Habi. That the I'll just read what it says literally. That which a person puts on his shoulder is 1/3 of what he carries. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains this to mean that whatever a person can carry by himself, if he shares the burden with someone else, so if you yourself are trying to carry some sort of load, you can only carry the 40 sa'ah, right? Whereas if you were carrying it along with someone else, the two of you carried it together, you'd be able to carry 3 times that amount. I mean, that this is only 1/3. That would be the equivalent of 120 sa'ah between two people. That's what it sounds like. Although, the way Tosfos brings down, he brings from the Yerushalmi, that it has to do with how you lift. That a person who lifts from the ground up to his mid-waist and then lifts it up above his shoulder from there, versus someone who lifts directly from the floor up to his shoulder. So that means that you'll be able to lift much more if you were able to first station it at your mid, you know, at your mid-light and then take it up versus going straight, you know, if you do a, I forgot what they call it in the Olympics, right?
Clinging jerk. On the clinging jerk.
Right, so that's, there we go. I have an extra. So that was the Olympics. They have to go straight up, which is a much harder lift than the station and then uplift. So that, it says, that's why Tosfos brings the Yerushalmi, that's the difference between how much of a load you can take. Rashi's only makes a little more sense in context, because we're going to see in a second that the Meraglim, the Gemara's going to base on this, you can calculate how much the Meraglim carried when they brought back the fruit, because they were carrying them the moat. What's a moat? A moat is a pole, right, that they ran between them. A pole or a board that they ran between them on which the fruits were placed. So that was, they were sharing the load. So it makes sense that that's the, what the reference in the previous Gemara. So now it says, Mi'ikanata mechashiv l'eshkol. Mir, you can understand how much the eshkol that they carried, the Meraglim carried, weighed. Right, so because you can now take it, it's 3 times what a normal one person can carry. If you're on a moat, multiple people are sharing the burden, right, then you will have a multiplicative effect in the amount of weight that they can carry. So now Mark says, right, last week's parsha, so b'mot b'shnayim, imashmash never b'mot in yodeh b'shiv b'shnayim. Right now, if you're carrying a moat, of course it's with two people. Why else, if you're using a moat is not used for one person. Right? You don't use a pole or a board to, for one single person to carry. That must be by two people. So what does it mean, b'shnayim? That's an additional word. Matam alamar b'shnayim, b'shnei motot. That they actually used two motot. So amar of Yitzchak, tortani, v'tortani, d'tortani. Right, so now, this statement of Yitzchak is cryptic. What does it mean, tortani, v'tortani, d'tortani? So now, what is clear from the pasuk, and this is what they're darshaning, is that there were two poles there. There was two motes there. What Rabbi Yitzchak adds, Rashi claims, that he adds that this was his pshita layer, that he had a svara to add this in. But he had a svara to say this is the way they carried it. And then the pasuk, in addition to that, tells us it was shnei motot. So Rashi says, tortani means a masui, a burden. So he says, tortani, the tortani is a tortani. It's a masui, and you carry a burden, and then you carry something else to carry that burden. So what does that mean? It means that they had the pole set up like a pound, the equivalent of a pound sign. Right? They had a, like this, that they had two poles, two motot, right? So in the back of your Gemara, actually, in the back of the Gemara's here, even in the back of the Gemara's, right before the Rosh, there's actually a picture, thank you, Gadai, it was, showing us the pictures there, but they have their pictures in the back of the Gemara here, the bottom of the back of the Gemara. Here is Rashi's pshat here. Rashi's pshat of Tortani is again that they have a set of motot that run under the eshkol, and then another set of motot that run under the first set of motot. Right, so that gives you a tortani, and a tortani to tortani, right? Tortani is a masui, right? That makes it the burden, because that's carrying the actual eshkol. And a tortani to tortani is the masui, which is that they are carrying or lifting the additional, right, the additional, weight underneath it. Then we have the positive shot of the rock. There's the rock. The rock was brought down by the Tosfos. The Raksas, what they did was they actually put two poles, as you can see here, two poles across, and then they ran a netting, or some sort of ropes, between these poles, and the grape rested on the poles, on the the mesh or weave of these ropes that went between these poles. And then the four motot, he said over here, he says, what are the four motot, right? Because he says, Shnayim, which is in the Pasuk, and then Rabbi Yisrael comes on and says, Tertani, and Tertani, Tertani. Rach says the word Tertani means mot, means a pole. So Tertani, Tertani, Tertani says that there were actually four motot. But it's four motot. He says, well, you had these two poles that ran underneath, and the end of each pole was an additional brace or pole that you carry. So these are one, two, three, four. Those are the four motot that they're talking about. Not that four motot went under the grapes or the eshkol, but rather there was at the end of each mot, the two that were underneath the eshkol, they had a header that had two people carried on the end. So because of this, you can have eight people, and each of these instances of eight people. The Rosh, who is the last opinion here, disagrees and says that the motot, there were only two motot underneath, and that there was a pitzul at the end that opened up for additional people to carry at each end of the motot. He goes through the levels. But that's the basic structure. He claims that he doesn't understand Rashi's shot. Rosh projects Rashi's shot because he says, how do they walk on an angle? It's very hard to walk on an angle like that. I don't know why Rashi's shot couldn't be that they were straight. I mean, that why does it have to be on an angle? Why couldn't they just have it be a pounce on its head directly underneath the...
Using that picture, which is also the way that the Torah Tzimima holds, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and they're walking in that direction, and they all have a pole on their shoulder.
Right, so the Rosh checks step shot too, because he says that the steps were hard. You would bump into the guy who was in front of you and back of you. He says, I'll read you a say, he says, well, Ode, says he doesn't know how it could be. He says, their steps will rotate, you know, over here and in and out and bump into the guys in front of them. One of them was going faster or slower than the other one on each side. There's a cluster problem for the grapes.
It was a long eshkol.
Right.
It was longer.
I don't know. But he says the poles, if this side went faster than this side, then if these two went faster than these two, then it would shift the pole and it would make it difficult.
The Rush's picture looks like it'll just...
Tumultuous. Yeah, I don't understand his... At the end of the picture, when I read it inside, I would not have pictured this, what he said, but that was, it says Kazen, it says this is the picture that accompanied the shadow of the Rush. But either way, what we have here are four motot, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, and those four motot were used to bring the grapes. Now based on that, you have an additional load, meaning that if you calculate the additional load that was brought, how much did the grapes weigh, would be about, right, if we say that one person carries for the right, and two people would carry 120, they have eight people carrying that, so if you take that should be four times 120, right, it would be 480. I don't know.
Unless you hold it, there's a further geometric.
Right, so if it's geometric, then I'd be wrong. I mean, that the addition of one, each person would add a multiplicative effect to it, and the weight would be even higher than that, which is a distinct possibility. The Gemara does not give the calculation. It just says, means kind of tamachashiv leshkol, but it doesn't give you the chishuv, right? So that's it. The only thing it tells you is hakeitzah shmona nasu eshkol, that eight of them took the eshkol. Echad nasa rimon, one of them carried the, which is found in the pasuk, the rimon. Echad nasa te'ena, the last one carried a fig. Yeshua b'kalev lo nasu plum, did not carry at all. So what do you have here? You have right? So why did Yeshua b'kalev? Right, they were going back. Ibai seima mishum techashive. Some say because they were too important. I mean, they weren't the laborers. They weren't involved. Like God is saying that they weren't coming back to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't need to take it back. They were not involved in this advice. So just point out here that they carried back, right, a rimon, right, a te'ina, and they took back a eshkol, right, which are the grapes, the rimon, and the te'ina. And then, what do we have? These are three of the Shiva Minim, right? We're missing when we talk about the Shiva Minim that are found. These are three of the Minim. What else did the miraculous say when they came back? They said, Achenhu, it's Eretz Zavat Kalavu Dvash. What's Dvash? Dvash Shel Temarim. So there's the fourth of the Shiva Minim, so we're missing the other three Minim. So those are the three Minim. If you look at the Torah, the two Parshiot that follow the Parshat the Miraclim, it's talking about Parshat Nisachim, and the parsha of Parashat Chala. So where is Parashat Chala? Comes from the dagan, from the grain, so that gets you your chita and seora. And where do the nesachim come from? The nesachim and the minchat nesachim comes from yayim, which we had already, but it also has oil and flour. And so there you get all the shuvat aminim that are contained in the parsha that's over there. Just pointing it out because we're talking about it over here. All right. The pligi bar Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nachla. Chadamar the Dibrei Rabbi Huda Kichaniyatam Avru. The Dibrei Rabbi Elazar Shimon Bzeir Chazet Avru. Chadamar Ben Demar Kaniyatam Avru. Masaver Adam Kaul Umasaver Mayim Kalin. So what's the argument here? So this is what I said before, that we're going to add an additional dimension to the machlokas here about how they crossed the Yarden. So here we have a machlokas on Moraim regarding the positions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda said that it was the mortars built up to 12 mil, whereas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon said they built up to 300 mil. So one, Amorav, says, what's the real machlokas here? The machlokas is how they traveled. Right, did Bnei Yisrael travel? They encamped in a certain, right, as laid out in the, right, in Parsha, in Sefer Bamidbar, the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, the encampment of Bnei Yisrael was laid out. And when they went to be Nasa, when they went to walk, did they walk the same way they encamped? Meaning that when they start to move, they just, the camp moved as if it was stationary and it just continued, as if they just got up and moved. Or did they form some sort of line or some sort of traveling, right, setup that goes over here? So that's the machlokes, one or more, that's the machlokes. If they traveled the way they encamped, then how big is the encampment that needed to cross? 12 mil. And that's why the water built up to 12 mil. On the other hand, if you believe the Zechariah said that they traveled in a different manner, they traveled in some sort of line or some sort of procession that they moved in, then that was much longer, and that brings to the opinion of Elizabeth Shimon that it was 300 mil high, which Tosfos goes through a calculation of how you get from 12 to 12 to 300 mil if you take the dimensions. If you take 12 by 12 mil, and then depending how wide you make them, you can get up to a dimension which is 300 mil high. The other Amora believes no, that they all agree what that everybody agrees that they traveled the way they were encamped. So what's my focus about how high the water went? That's how, what's faster? Is the speed of an individual faster than the speed of water? Meaning that if water moves faster than the individual, then they built up to 300 mil. If, on the other hand, a person is fast or as fast as water, right, then you don't, then they would they could have crossed before it built up more than 12 mil. Tosfos asks, what do you mean? It's pretty obvious that water runs faster than people. It's just not a, why is it a question over here? He says, Nira, Tosfos says, it's towards the bottom of the omen here. Zer dafke pishu, apapisha devar yedua shemayim kalim, and dafke shem your din. That's only when they're downhill, when they're running on a downhill pace, and then the waters are faster than people. Abakan, shenid gashimbo lim, here they had to go up. I mean, the waters had to build, they were in a wall, and they were going upwards. So that water, shir kalut amayim, shir kalut adam shaveh. At that point, the crossing of a person and the waters would be, right, at the same pace. Although it's a little difficult because the waters that were feeding that wall that was built up were the downstream waters of the Yarden that were from before that. So the wall is being built up by the downstream. But that might explain the 12 mil by the 12 mil, in that they only climbed 12 mil because of that slower pace that they climbed, but the depth built because those waters were still running at a higher pace downhill. So I guess that's what you could explain. That's also that, but I thought above, right, we said that the Blazer said that the 12 mil by 12 mil had to do with how long, right, it took for them to cross the Yarden, right? That's what it took, 12 mil for them to cross the Yarden. So you have to say, that they argued about two different things. They argue about two issues. One issue is how long does it take to cross, meaning the Yarden with 12 mil, plus how fast is water, meaning that they argue about two issues. Three, we're going to see in a second, ask one thing. Didn't we say before that Yeshua spoke to Bnei Israel while they were in the Yarden? He makes that breach with them while they're in the Yarden. So it wasn't just the amount of time that it took them to cross the Machaneh, but they also stopped in the middle. So what do you do with that part that they stopped in the middle? So the Reed says, oh, don't worry about that part, because it didn't add up to a meal. The amount of time that they were ma'akib there was not the time of the meal, therefore it's a rounding error. In the 12 meals, they didn't get to the 13th meal, that's why it was 12. So it seems to me hard it was a whole procession, they had to pick up the rocks, they had to do this whole thing, which seems to me would take a little longer, but that's the way the Reed explains it. Otherwise, how do you explain that the waters only went 12 meal if the ma'akib was 12 meal? And the other possibility is that, they were mitzamtzein, meaning that they when they moved into the water, they closed themselves together so that they could all be in the water together at some point, because the Yardin only 50 amot wide. Right, so how did they have everybody in there and be drowned if there was a, right, if they only 50 amot wide? So this is in the beginning, so it's all possibly that they all crunched together. And so then even once they went through, they didn't cross the other side, but they stayed within the area of the Yardin or downstream of the Yardin, so everybody was in the Yardin. It's interesting. Amar Reish Lakish, Shlach L'cho. You should say, Shlach L'Nashim, Mida'at Cho. Right? From your own. Right? On your own or of your own volition. Chiyadam Zeh Borer, Chelik Ra, Liyad Shmo. Right? Because Hashem knew the outcome. And of course, Hashem would not send them if he knew what the outcome was. I know this thing, but you tell me in Ayah Davar. That's Moshe says in Devarim, when he's talking about the Merglim, when he recounts the story of the Merglim, he says, when you asked me to send the Merglim, you tell me in Ayah Davar. In my eyes, it was good. In that it was in the eyes. I'm very selective, it's Be'inai, but it'll be in Amshamakom. That was my decision, and Hashem didn't necessarily think the same. So what does it mean by Yach Purlanu at the Arts? Amar Rabbi Barava, Raglim lo nitzkabu al bostash of Eretz Yisrael. They're only looking out for the negatives of Eretz Yisrael. Tivah kama Yach Purlanu at the Arts. Tivah the chafra levana ubosha hakama. Right, that the light ati levo will be so great that it would be chafra levana, that the moon and the sun will be embarrassed by it. So b'chafra levana, you see, is a negative term. So b'yach peru already, when they were going in to do chafra, they were looking for the negatives. They started out with the negatives. And we're going to see in a second later on, the Gemara Tadarshan, that they left already with bad intentions. They just didn't get there and find bad intentions, but they left already with bad intentions. Ve'elush montan l'mateiru v'ayin, shamboa ben tzakur. Amar Yitzchak tabezeh mesorot v'yadeinu rabotenu. V'glim ashim ma'aseihem nikru'u. Their names were after their actions. We only have one of those. Out of the 12 names, we only have the Masorah, the Gabi, one of them. What's the interpretation? Stor ben Michael, Stor shesatar masav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. He undermined, right, the works of Hashem or the actions of Hashem. Michael shesatzmo mach. He made himself poor or weak, right, so that he couldn't uphold his end of the bargain. We could deal with Nachbi ben Vavsi ourselves. Why? Nachbish yachbid varav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hid the words of Hashem, or he ignored the words of Hashem. Upaseish pisal midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he walked or trampled on the midot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayilu b'negev v'yavo ad Hebron. Right, so this, there's an inconsistency in the pasuk. It says vayalu in the plural, and vayavo in the singular. Vayavohu mi boileh. It should say vayavohu in the plural. So Amar Rava, Malameh, Chaperish, Kalev, Me'achas, Megalim, Alach, Finishtateh, Chalkibri, Avot. That who went to Hebron was not all of them. Vayavohu was only Kalev. That's why it's written in the singular. Amalem, Avotai, Bikshu, Alay, Rachamim, Shnetel, Me'achas, Megalim. Alright, you should, Miraglim, that you should save me from the plans of the Miraglim. So Kalev goes to the Marat HaMachpelah, to Davin, on behalf of himself, to save himself from the Amtsav Magalim. So Yeshua, what about Yeshua? Yeshua Kvar Bikesh Moshe L'Avrachim. And he already had protection from Moshe Rabbeinu Shneamar. Or he found Moshe L'Oshia Binun Yehoshua. What does that mean, Yeshua? Ka Yoshiachom Amtsav Magalim. That the Hashem should protect you from the Amtsav of the Mirgalim. Behind the Chetiv. So how do we know that it was Kalev who went over there? Because it says later on in Yeshua, when they're giving out to the inheritance of the land, it says, "Va'avi Kalev, Ekev." Right, Haita Ruach Acheret Imo. Right, so that he will go into Eretz Yisrael. This is in the Torah because he had a different right. He had a different wind with him, Ruach, because he felt acted differently than the Marglim. Right, spirit, good. So they had different spirits, and later on we're going to see that when he goes into Eretz Yisrael, he gets his Halik in Eretz Yisrael was Hebron. That's what he's awarded because of that. Achiman, Sheshai B'Talmai, right? Bnei Anak. So what does it mean that these people were found there? Achiman, Miyuman Shabi Achim. What's Achiman? Achiman means that he was the strongest or the biggest of his brothers. Sheshai is Mesimet Arz Kishachtut. That is, Sheshai is that he makes the ground like depressions. From his weight or from his strength, that when he walked, he used to leave marks in the ground. What does it have to do to Sheshai? Rashi says he does not know. He says the word Sheshai and Shechitut don't necessarily match. But he says Sheshai might be from the word Sheish, from marble. So what is that? If you have a pillar of marble, it's very heavy. It leaves an impression in the ground. So to hear, when he walked, it left an impression in the ground. Right? So that he made the ground into like a telem is a portal. It goes on, so when he walked, same thing, same idea that he left impressions as he walked. And they built these cities, their height blocked the sun. And that's why it means Ne'anak, they were so great that they blocked the sun. It says there, V'chevron, Sheva Shanim Nibdata, Lifnei, Tzawan Mitraim. And so Hebron was built, what sounds from the Pasuk Pshat, the Pasuk is what? Sheva Shanim Nibdata, Tzawan Mitraim. That Hebron was built 7 years prior to Tzawan Mitraim. My Nibdata. What does it mean that it was built? Elim and Nibdata, Mamash was really built. Esher, Adam, Bonet, Baitim, No, Hakatam, Kodim, Nibdata, Gadol. Why would you build a city or a, for your younger son before you build for your older son? Why? So who was first? Bnei Cham were Kush, Mitzrayim, and who's after them? You have Canaan. So Mitzrayim is older than Canaan, and in Tzon Mitzrayim, which should have been built before Hebron, Ella. It was built with what? By a 7-to-1 ratio on the beauty of Tzon Mitzrayim, or either bigger or more beautiful than Tzon Mitzrayim. There isn't a worse spot in Eretz Yisrael than Hebron. About Trashim, what exactly Trashim are? So some say that Trashim are burial areas, but that is rejected by, I think Rashi also here rejects it, because it says, that's what the Gemara says later on. It was because it was Trashim, the Kavri B'Shichbe, they buried people over there. So is it, right, the Girsa is, either it's Trashim, because that's where they, because they buried people there, it's a graveyard, because that's where they bury people, or is it Trashim? Trashim translates as a rocky location. It's not easy to plant in these areas because there's no open fields, it's all rocks. So there's no rocky terrain, and it's not easy to plant over there, so therefore nobody uses it for agricultural means, and therefore because of that it became a kibbeh d'shichbeh, it became a graveyard. And there's no greater place, right, than Mitzrayim. She never got Hashem carried to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim itself is described by Hashem as Gan Hashem. And the Kabbalah declares Mitzrayim, Yotzer Mitzrayim. And Tzon itself is one of the nicest cities in Mitzrayim. The Chdiv, Kayu Mitzrayim, Sharaf, right, because when Bnei Yisrael go to make a treaty with Mitzrayim to help them fight against Ashur, right? So it says there that they sent their Sarav, right? Hayab and so on, Sarav. Its ministers or its princes were in Tzon. So you see that was a capital city, or that was the royal city, was Tzon. So here you have Tzon, Mitzrayim, a great country. Tzon, which is a city, a capital city, is a beautiful city. And nevertheless, in Hebron, which is the, right, what seems to be the worst of Eretz Yisrael, so the lowest grade form of land, Eretz Yisrael was 7 times bigger or better than Tzon Mitzrayim. So it only exacerbates the comparison or the differential. Alright, so now, we look at Hebron, Mubunai, Achad Mishiva, and Tzon. So the word says the Hebron Trashim Havi? Is Hebron really a rocky terrain? Bakti, Bahimi Kate Sarim Shinaba Yomar Shalon Ala Melech. But after 40 years, Avshalom says to the king, Akhana, I'll go down to Hebron in order to bring Karbanot, come here, bring Karbanot. Ramrabi Abite Marabu Rabakana and Shalach Lavi Kabasim in Hebron. He wanted to bring sheep from Hebron for his Karbanot. Vitanya, Elim Bi Moab, Kabasim in Hebron. If you want to get the best Elim, you go to Moab. You want to get the best Basim, you go to Hebron. So he says, Mina, I need the Klisha Aro. So that's what Samar says, that's exactly the point. Mina, from it, that's what does it mean? I need the Klisha Aro Abderayo. Which I mean, can you, exactly because of that problem. What? Because you can't plant, it's not a good agricultural area. You can't, because of the rocky terrain, it's not a good place to plant. Therefore, it becomes a great area for, right, for pasturing of animals or pasturing of sheep, because then the weeds or the grasses will grow wild and long, and therefore the sheep can graze over there and they will do well and become fat. So that's what it means, that it's a place that must be, exactly because it's not a good planting area, it becomes a good area for merer, for pasture. So it says, they came back from Right? It's investing in the land, they're spying on the land. Vayachol, vayavo. It says that they went and they came. So we discussed before that it connects between their going and coming. Just like when they came back, right? They came back with a bad report, they left. Similarly with a bad report, meaning that their intentions were bad from start and not something that developed as they began to look around their stone. That's the idea of Yahperu Adaris. Yahperu is that he looked at Bushtat. They were already looking for the negatives. They went with the intent of trying to find the negatives. So I will stop here.